Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. We are recording a little different today, so we are live streaming, but we're recording from a different device. So I apologize if it looks weird or doesn't sound right, but we are trying to live stream to YouTube. So we also appreciate all those who have found us on our live stream. We're thankful that you've tuned in. I was handed a note. One of the things that was forgot to be mentioned in the announcements that we don't want to forget about is this past week we had a sister born and a brother restored. And so Tori Reynolds was baptized this past week, and her husband Danny Reynolds was restored. He repented and came back. And they're out of town this weekend, but they plan to be with us next weekend, Sunday the 12th. And so we look forward to having them with us then. Well, you might notice that this morning I'm wearing something a little different. I'm wearing my Tanzania preaching suit that so many of you already know the report is today, but those who don't, you know something was off, something was different. This morning we're going to talk about my mission report, as I call it, Tanzania 2025, and I've titled it Equipping the Saints. I really felt, as I kind of thought and processed over the weeks since I got home, what we were there to do, and it really felt like what we were there to do was equip the saints, and that we did it in a number of ways, and I hope to share many of those things with you. I did not have time or room to go through all the pictures that we all took. We kind of pulled our pictures together and shared, and if you have any questions at the end or would like to see further pictures, if I have them, I will share them with you. But I will bring back greetings from the churches of Christ at Mwanambaya, Tabata, Chanika, Katunda, Mlamleni, Mbezi, and Kizwani. And I took your greetings with me when I went. And you'll see those congregations here in a second as I talk about those greetings. So you'll see those again. But I did go bearing your greetings as well as I went bearing the greetings of these others. I wanted to give a note of thanks. This trip was supported by the elders and brethren here at Courthouse, the Lost River Church of Christ, the West Main Church of Christ, the Laurel Canyon Church of Christ, the Brook Hill Church of Christ, and North Madison Church of Christ. The brethren in all these places helped support and fully fund my trip so that I feel like, as Paul was able to tell the saints at Philippi, I was amply supplied. And so I am extremely grateful for the good brethren at all these places that saw to my needs, because not only was I amply supplied, but that fully funded trip helped supply when we went. I was able to do my part in helping procure 4 cases of Swahili Bibles, 2 cases of Swahili hymnals, daily food for brethren of the congregations that some of them surprised us with food we didn't know about, but others had asked us, and we'd helped supply food that they were able to make food or lunch for the whatever we were doing that day. Transport for brethren to and from congregations, we were able to help with bus fare. School supplies, we did a 2-day seminar for young men, and we were able to supply pencils and notebooks, erasers and sharpeners. We also provided crayons, coloring books, and treats for some of the younger kids. We were able to provide widow relief, brethren relief, and medicine that they just can't get very easily. And so they appreciated me being there. They appreciated your generosity and your support, and I wanted you to know that they appreciated it. As I was thinking of this report, as I often do, I often think of Acts 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." We find there in verse, we find that shortly after this verse, that Barnabas and Paul are going to have a sharp disagreement over who to bring with them. And there was a fight over, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark. Paul said, no, he left us before. We don't want to bring John Mark. And so they split up, and Barnabas took John Mark. Paul took Silas. And then later we read of Paul training Timothy, who also goes with him on that second trip, and Titus. Our mission to Tanzania was a lot like Paul and Silas's second missionary journey. We went to check on established congregations and to strengthen and encourage them in many of the spiritual battles they are engaged in. And we went to help support them and to give them tools and training that they needed to do the work where they are, because we don't live there. We're not teaching them American ways of doing things. We always go back to the Bible to teach them the scriptural way of handling things. We met with multiple congregations. We met with preachers and with elders, and we conducted Q&A almost everywhere that we went. Almost every day, with rare exception, there was hours of Q&A, if time permitted. I want to share with you who I traveled with. You guys know me. I'm Nate or Nathan Morrison, but you guys might remember Rob Miller. He used to preach at the West End congregation, but two and a half years ago, he moved to the Dayton, Ohio area, where he preaches for the Inglewood Church of Christ. He drove down to my house, stayed with us Sunday night, and then all day Monday, then he and I flew out very early Tuesday. And while we were at the Richmond International Airport awaiting our flight to Dulles International, look who we ran into. It was a total surprise. We ran into Sister Vi. She was on her way to New York. We were on our way to D.C. and our paths crossed. We got a picture with her. And I told her, she told me she wasn't going to be here this weekend. I said, well, you made the report. So I let her know she was in the report. But it was quite a surprise. We got to visit with her before our planes were taken off. And Rob and I kept getting not so much delayed, but they kept moving our gate. And we were in the process of moving. We were traveling from one gate to the next when there she was, walking to her gate. So it was a great thing to see her on that day. Well, we get to Dulles, and our flight starts getting delayed. We were supposed to have 4 hours in Dubai. And our trip in Dulles, we kept seeing the delay happen to where by the time we got to Dubai, there was only going to be half an hour. And I went to the counter and said, are we going to make this flight? And he says, oh, yeah, our plane is arriving. You'll make the flight. And I said, that's not what I'm worried about. When we get to Dubai, will we make our connecting flight? And he said, I think they would have told us if you weren't. You'll make it. But Rob and I got on our flight, and we had something happen that's never happened to us before. When we got off that plane, we flew Emirates, and there was an Emirates concierge. His name, we found out, was Abdel Kadir. And he was standing there with a board waiting for us with our names on it and said, Dar es Salaam? We said, yes, we're going to Dar es Salaam. He said, yeah, your flight's already boarding. They're going to leave in half an hour. You got to come with me if you want to make your flight. So we're like, okay. He took us through a private security check. He took us through doors we would never normally get to go through. He took us in a private elevator. And as we're going up in that private elevator, Rob and I are looking at each other. We just said it out loud. I really feel important. I feel like a VIP. And he said, this is Emirates. This is what we do. I was like, wow. Well, I've never had that treatment before. I would have lost that flight. He got us, he told us just how far our gate was. He took us as far as he could on foot, put us on a cart, and they were weaving in and out of traffic getting us to that gate. We made it by the hair of our chinny chin chins. And that's the thing. We made our flight, but our luggage didn't. We got to Dar es Salaam, and they said, so sorry, your luggage didn't make that flight. But it'll be on that exact same flight tomorrow. You can pick it up tomorrow. And lucky for us, we had planned our trip that we would have a day there where it would give us time to recoup from all that travel. It was about over 30 hours, about 32 hours total. And we had a day to give us time to recoup and a day to assemble with our team. And that also allowed us to pick up our luggage. So from Tuesday morning, September 2nd, through late Wednesday afternoon, September 3rd, we flew from Dulles, where we barely made that connecting flight in Dubai, and we, all in all, a little over a 30-hour trip, and we made it safely to Dar es Salaam, and we were praising God for that safekeeping. Our driver took us to our hotel, Blue Sapphire. This is Hotel Blue Sapphire. We feel very safe there. I've stayed there the last two trips. The last one was 2 years ago. It has armed security and it's gated, so we feel rather safe there. We stayed there for 2 nights, and then we're not going to stay there this trip. We stayed there our very last night before we left, so it was kind of our parenthetical stay. We're going to end up staying at two places I've never stayed at before. And some of our team had stayed there a year ago and earlier this year in June. And so they had scoped it out and they said, it's good. It's a little roughing it. You're going to get an African experience. I was worried about the toilets, but they were all Western toilets, so I was happy. But one thing it didn't have was they didn't have the printing service that we're used to at this place. Because one thing that we know about the brethren here in these areas is I will bring a folder full of printed sermons, and I will only preach a fraction of that, because they will ask for requests of things that I don't have with me or have never preached, and so we're usually writing it or typing it by scratch and then having the front desk print it for us. So knowing that these two places we're going to stay at for the majority of our trip doesn't have a printer, my wonderful mother-in-law bought me a portable printer. And it printed, it was thermal. It's like a receipt paper, but it printed out on regular size sheets of paper. And they're rolled. So when it printed out, if you didn't have scissors, which I didn't, and you didn't print it one page at a time, it printed a 4 or 5 page sermon out as a scroll. So you really felt Old Testament. We're like, I'm going to open the scroll. So I was very thankful to my mother-in-law, as was my entire team. Everyone on our team used that printer. And so we had a day that we were able to assemble our team. And I want to just tell you who they are. Some of these you've seen before. I've traveled with Andrew and Brother Eddie. I've traveled with them the last two times I've went. This was my third trip. So Andrew Roberts from Tampa, Florida. This was his fourth time to Tanzania. Brother Eddie Smith from Paris, Tennessee. This was his ninth time to Tanzania. Me, this was my third time. And Rob Miller from Dayton, Ohio, as I previously pointed out, this was his first time. And in fact, he made sure to let everyone know this was his first time out of the country at all, ever. And I took him across the world. And then we worked with an African group, Charles Mwambango from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He started the Mlamlini congregation there, but he also preaches at Kiswani. We also worked with Charles Mwakalange, who I call Cashew Charles, and I'll tell you why in just a second. We've worked with him before. In fact, every trip I've made, I've worked with Charles in some way or another. We've worked with him as a translator every time I visited. And he preaches in Tunduru, Tanzania, which is down in the south towards the border of Mozambique. And what he does there as supplemental income is he's grown a cashew farm. And he gave me, while I was there, the first crop of his cashew farm. It takes about 5 years for a cashew farm to become profitable. He's 3 years in it. He began it in 22. And this was the first time that he had a profitable crop. And he's got some problems and issues he's trying to work out that he's hoping that he can stay in business to that fifth year when all his property starts producing. But I have this bag of his cashews that he gave me. And if anyone wants to try his cashews, we can do it in the parking lot at the end. We're going to have this bag available where you can try Tanzanian cashews grown by Cashew Charles. And so we called him Cashew Charles the whole trip. It would make him smile, and sometimes he'd go, ah, why? So, Farai Chingandi is a guy that I worked with this time that I've never met before. He's a preacher from Zimbabwe. He actually was not with us our first 3 days. We picked him up Sunday night the 7th, and I'll mention that. But here is our full team of 7 that we traveled the majority of the time with. And he is a very dynamic preacher. And I'll tell you, almost all of us agreed. I think all of us agreed. We didn't want to follow him. We were all happy when we were scheduled to preach before he went. In fact, we celebrated and we were like, yes, Fari goes after me. I'm not after Fari. He has started over 30 congregations in Zimbabwe. He's personally trained 35 preachers, and he is a phenomenal speaker, and he is well-versed in scriptural authority. And so a lot of his preaching that we had him do was on the scriptural authority. So they didn't just hear Westerners teaching it like we've done in the past. They heard a fellow African teaching it, that this is something that can be done. And wait till you see what he did with bed sheets. He didn't own a laptop till the very end of this trip. The brethren at North Livingston, where Andrew's at, they helped fund a laptop for him. But I want you to, we'll see a little bit later on what he did with bed sheets. Our mission was to encourage saints and preachers to continue their work, to equip saints, to train preachers and future leaders. We were there to help teach them and train them to be autonomous and independent from preaching training schools and to be independent from American money. And that's no easy feat to be done. So I call this The Work, A Journey of Daily Ministry. This is me preaching at Katunda. This was a Wednesday night. and a different guy than Charles was translating for me. His name is Duncan Sissia, and I worked with him. He translated for me 3 years ago. I haven't seen him in 3 years, and we ran into him at Katoomba. And just to briefly give you a synopsis of our work, there was no down day scheduled. And you'll notice that September 11th, we actually got a down day, but that was an accident, and it was a very happy accident. Every morning was very early, around 6:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning. We were getting home extremely late. Sometimes it took 2.5 hours to get through traffic, and that time that it did, we were in a van with no AC. We all agreed that was one of our most miserable trips from where we were preaching back home. But what happened on September 11th is plans A and B both failed. We were invited to preach at a congregation, but scheduling conflict made it where we couldn't come. A different congregation said, well, we want you to come, and then that congregation's invitation fell through, and so we ended up with a happy down day that I'll share with you of two different parts that we spent that in. But we had on September 4th, we had a reunion with our team. Charles Mombongo and Cashew Charles Makalange came to the Hotel Blue Sapphire. We mapped out a plan. We made sure for all the requests that we knew ahead of time, we were divvying them up. So we each knew where our role was and what work we were going to be doing. And we were especially working out the next 2 days of the young men's seminar that was put together. And around noon, Brother Eddie asked the two Charles, are you guys hungry? It's getting close to noon. And Cashew Charles says, yes, I'm very hungry. You never ask a Tanzanian if he's hungry. You know we're all starving. So we went and had lunch, and it was a good time. Our young men's seminar was called Iron Sharpens Iron, and that lasted a Friday and a Saturday, all day. And then on Sunday, we met with the Wanambaya Church, and then we had a very tight schedule. Right after that ended, we went to the Tabata congregation, and then later that night, we picked up Fari Chingundi, and from Zimbabwe, for him, it was an 8-hour flight. And so his flight was nothing compared to ours. We were like, you shouldn't be tired. We picked him up late Monday night, so we were able to get a bite to eat with him. And then we all was able to get up early on Monday. We were back at it. So Monday afternoon, we were at Chinika, where we spoke about marriage and spiritual growth. And on September 9, Tuesday was a special day. This was at Kiswani. This was not for the whole congregation. This was a seminar for preachers and elders that wanted to hear teaching on biblical authority. Scriptural authority, they were especially concerned about church cooperation because the sponsoring church arrangement is rampant in that area and even among the Lord's body. And so they were there to hear what we had to say on that. And we were also teaching on church autonomy and teaching about the dangers of the schools of preaching. And so there was a fairly good turnout for that, although we got a letter from many of the elders in the area on Sunday night saying, we're not going to make it, we'll do it again next year. So it was mostly preachers, but we did find out there were two surprise guests, and I'll talk about that when we get there. Wednesday at Katoomba, it was a place we'd never been to before. This was a new invitation, and they wanted to hear about church discipline. They wanted to hear about the roles of men and women in the church. September 11 was our happy accident. We actually got a down day. We were able to go to the Indian Ocean for Rob and Farai, who had never seen it. We were able to spend time with Charles Mombongo and see the future site of the congregation that's going to meet in Mlamlani. That's in his neighborhood. And so we were able to spend time with him and his family. Then Friday and Saturday, September 12 and 13th, we were at Mbezi. It had been 2 years since I've seen these brethren, and it was very good, and there's always new faces. They are a very evangelistic group, and they were, that Sunday that we were with them, that Sunday morning, there was 132 people, and many of them were traveling, because I know 2 years ago we were there, it was over 150, and so we were able to meet with them, and again, another tight schedule. We had to be at Kiswani that night. And then Monday, we were at Kiswani again. They wanted to hear about evangelism and restoring the fallen. And then our travel day began that Tuesday, and we were home late Wednesday afternoon. So these were the congregations in relation to each other all throughout Dar. We were at Wanambaya, is the southernmost. It takes the longest to get out there. That's why we spent, in the first part of the trip, we spent 3 days there. And I brought your greetings to each and every one of them. Every time they would have us do an introduction, I would tell them where I was from and that I was bringing greetings from you at Courthouse and the brethren who helped support me. Wanambai, we checked into the Caribou Mark Hotel. This was a place I'd never stayed at before. The staff wouldn't let us carry our own luggage. And I know, because I traveled with Rob, our bags were 48 to 50 pounds. Andrew told us his bag, this is that red one, was 62 pounds. The brethren there at Livingston helped him pay that overage charge, because that was a large fee. But it had a lot of supplies that he wanted to bring. And these ladies are just, I said, the ladies back home got to up their game. Because the ladies here are most impressive. They just lifted those bags up onto their heads and carried them to our rooms. It felt like chivalry was dead. It felt like, well, all of us guys were looking at each other going, and then some of them were even trying to take our backpacks. And I'm like, no, you got to let me hold on to my dignity a little bit. I got to hold on to one bag. So they were carrying off with our bags. It was a fun experience, if not a little bit embarrassing. But that's the way they treat their guests. They said they had to take our bags. They said this is their culture. This is the way they honored us as their guests. Wanambai, the young men's seminar, they called it Iron Sharpens Iron. This was something that Brother Zuberi, that I had worked with in my first two trips, this was something on his heart that he wanted to do, and he died in early October of 2023, never having seen that done. His son is Mwakiami. He also goes by Mwakin, his young son, and Mwene. Mwakiami said, you guys have these youth camps back in the States. We don't have anything like that here. Would you help us put something like that on? We said, well, if you organize it, we'll teach it. So he did. They rented a school. He made this flyer and put our names on there and put in the themes that he wanted us to teach on. And we divvied all that up. We had different ways that we were all going to be preaching over those 2 days. And we had about 40 guys that ranged in ages of 13 to 28 came to this thing. And they stayed all day. We were there at morning at breakfast time. And we were there until just before supper. So we got breakfast and lunch with them. Mwak's younger brother, Mbwene, this is me with him. I was happy to see him. The last time I saw him, he was 13. He's 15 now. I told him, the last time I saw you, you were being baptized in a creek where we were all standing guard watching for crocs and snakes. And his faith is continuing to grow, and so we are happy to see Mbwene in attendance at this place. The lectures continued on one of those days at lunch. This guy named Collins, you see him here with Andrew. Andrew was talking to him, and Collins said he's 24, he's in IT, but he's wanting to get more established before he looks into a family. Andrew asked Collins, is it hard to find Christian women? And we all loved Collins' answer so much, we all wrote it down. I think it made it into all our reports. Collins said, no, they are easy to find. They are hard to get. He said, it's like going to a river of clear water and seeing the fish, but you cannot get the fish. We said, truer words, Collins. Truer words. So here's our group of the young men that were there at the end of the day, Saturday. The iron sharpens iron. We had lessons all day. We had Q&A. They asked some very deep and sometimes very personal questions, and we tried to encourage them as much as we could. And again, their ages were 13 to 28. And then Sunday morning, we had the great privilege of being at the Wanambai Church of Christ. Andrew and I, this was a little bit emotional for us. We had such a tight schedule. We were told as soon as it's over, we've got to leave. And I remember telling Brother Eddie at breakfast that morning, I said, that's going to be tough for me. We love this group. This is where Zuberi's at. When we were there 2 years ago, I got a picture here of me with their building. That was not there. 2 years ago, there's a picture of me and Becky and the group of us there on that plot of land that he was dreaming about, saying, one day I'm going to put a building here. Well, that building is now there, and they're working on building up permanent walls. You can see that the walls behind us here in the group shot are just wood. Sometimes on one side it's bushes, and they don't know if that structure is going to last the 3 months of the rainy season. So they're in the process of trying to buy bricks to brick up the walls of this building. Andrew and I were given the privilege of teaching there that morning. Andrew's congregation used to support Zuberi, and our congregation here and multiple congregations across the land all helped support Fina. We sent a one-time gift to Fina. Many congregations helped support his widow, Fina, in the wake of his untimely death. Zuberi left a strong legacy here. The man that he was mentoring, Paulo, is now the preacher here. Like Paul training Timothy, Zuberi trained Paulo, and Paulo is continuing to preach. He's been doing it for 2 years, over 2 years, and the congregation is still going strong. I do want to point out, it was here I first started showing symptoms of being sick. And my first thought was, Monombaya, there's a lot of nature out there. And I thought, I've gotten allergies that I didn't know about. And so my first thought was allergies. I had allergy meds on me. I started taking allergy medicine. Continuing on with the Monombaya Church of Christ, here I am with Zuberi's widow, Fina, and our congregation and many others. Again, we help support her in the wake of Zuberi's death. Fina's house, this is Fina's house here. It has this thatched wall. You can't see it, but on the other side of the house, the thatched wall fell in at the last rainy season. And she was able to, with her family, get it up partway, but not all the way. And so what Brother Eddie plans to do is he's planning next time that he goes, next year, there's a guy in construction that's going to block off some time, and he's hoping to go with Brother Eddie and help build her that wall. And we are asked if there's anyone here with that set of skills. If you want to help, you're welcome to go on that next trip as well. And here's Brother Eddie between some ladies that are packing up the chairs from the building to carry into Miss Fina's house. We had a very tight schedule. As soon as we said goodbye to the brethren there, we rushed over to the Tabata Church of Christ. The Tabata Church of Christ greets you. We barely made it on time. They were singing when we got there, waiting for us. And here's our Mzungu group with Brother Albert. He's one of the preachers. There's two preachers at Tabata, and there we are with one of the preachers and his wife. And that Sunday night, we picked up Fari Chengundi at the airport, and he was with us the rest of the trip. And so the rest of the trip I call equipping the saints, training preachers and teaching autonomy. And here I am with Cashew Charles translating for me. That Monday, we went to the Chinika Church of Christ. They also send their greetings to you. I have been invited to speak at this group every time I've visited Tanzania. So it was very good to see the brethren there. They have a preacher. His name's Hansen, and his wife's name is Grace, or Neema. Neema is the Swahili for Grace, and it was good to see them. What I was sad to see is this is the congregation I've told you about. They had a ginormous mustard tree out in front, right outside. You come out of the building, and there's this big mustard tree. Well, they're building a new building just across from that old one, and they had to tear down that tree. So that tree was uprooted. It wasn't there. And you can see us, our group shot here with the ruin, or not these aren't ruins. These are the construction of their new building. And it's going to be a lot bigger and a lot sturdier and a lot more permanent than where they're meeting at. And so we are able to talk about marriage. They want us to talk about marriage and spiritual growth and what causes spiritual unfruitfulness. And this night, I started battling real sickness. The cough went down into my chest, and that's triggering my asthma. I'm puffing on my inhaler all through this. And when we get there, they asked me for something I didn't have. And this portable printer came into play in such a big way. I told the other two guys, I told Farai and Andrew, you guys go ahead of me. And I'm typing up my sermon on what causes spiritual unfruitfulness. I type it up, and then I'm using that printer, and I don't have scissors, so I'm printing it one page at a time. They're singing the song before I get up there as the last page prints. And I got up and preached that very fresh off the press sermon to the brethren there at Chinika. So again, I was very thankful to my mother-in-law and that generous donation of that portable printer. Then Kiswani, the Church of Christ, there hosted that they're building the preachers and elders seminar. We were invited to speak. It was for preachers and elders. We were asked to speak on spiritual authority, how churches help out one another, and how to help out preachers. The sponsoring church arrangement is rampant, and Farai came out and just unfurled this banner that he'd made on a bed sheet, and he had three others. And as soon as this thing comes down, and he says to everyone, there's kind of this shocked silence. And he says, if you've never seen anything like this, you're free to take pictures. Oh man, the stampede. We were all sitting up front, all these guys gathered around us as they're taking pictures as he unfurls sheet after sheet after sheet. And they told us during the breaks and afterwards, many of those preachers had never seen or had been taught this. And they were extremely grateful. of the New Testament pattern of helping other preachers and helping other churches, that the funds are sent from one congregation directly to the other, not to one church that gathers it all up, because then they have the control. And so during the talk that Brother Eddie gave on the schools of preaching, two guys got up and left, and we were informed much later that they were called committee members, and they represented a couple different congregations, and they didn't like what they heard, and they got up and left. But overall, we were given positive feedback that what was being taught was well received and going to benefit the different congregations that 15 different preachers were there to hear. I also want to note, this was my most miserable day. I told the group at breakfast I was this close to John Mark out. I'm this close to calling out. I just want to stay in my hotel and do nothing. Luckily, I was not slated to speak on this day, so I was just, but I was the note taker, so I'm taking notes. But I was told I had no color. Everyone was worried about me. I didn't know what I had. I just knew I was feeling extremely miserable that day. I can say it's no fun being sick in a third world country. It's definitely not fun being sick in Africa. That night, I rummaged through my first aid kit again and was happy to find that I had some low-grade antibiotics. And I started taking them. It was a 12-hour pill, and I started taking it. And the doctor had told me when they gave it to me that once you start, you can't stop. So I ended up 10 days on these antibiotics. Well, the good news is, Wednesday morning when we woke up and we're supposed to go to spend the day at Katunda, I was 100% better than the day before. I wasn't 100%, but I was 100% better than the day before. And that told me whatever I had was bacterial, because those antibiotics were working. By Friday, and this is the last I'll say about my sickness there, by Friday, I had no symptoms. Nothing. No cough. I had some inflammation in my gums. I had head pain and swelling, and none of that. All of it was gone by Friday. So the rest of the trip was fantastic. So thank God for antibiotics in modern medicine, because I don't know what I would have done or what I would have brought back if I didn't have those antibiotics with me. Yeah, Becky's shaking her head. Yeah, whatever it is, they didn't want it. So this was our first time speaking and even visiting with this group at Katunda. Their preacher Frank and his wife Prisca had invited us to speak, and we actually got to meet him. He was there at Kiswani the day before at the preacher seminar and expressed his gratitude for what was taught and said he couldn't wait to hear us come and speak at Katunda. And so we were excited to meet them, and the Katunda Church of Christ greets you. And then I want to talk about my third and last point, is strengthening the roots, what I call strengthening in truth, wisdom, and growth. This is a picture of me and Rob teaching the little children at Imbezi, with a guy named Eustich translating, and we're using a device that I will explain here in a little bit when we get to Imbezi. This is the future site of the Mlamleni Church of Christ. Part of our down day Thursday afternoon, after plans A and B fell through, we were able to spend that afternoon with Charles Mombongo and his family, his wife Martha, his daughters Miriam and Anna, his sons Asa and Alvin. Alvin is 3 years old, and 3 years ago when we were there, earlier that year, when Alvin was born, he needed heart surgery. And multiple congregations across the land, and this was my first trip back in 22, so I didn't know anything about it. This group didn't know anything about it, but other congregations that knew about Charles Mombongo had sent money for that surgery. And it was fantastic to see little Alvin at 3 years old running around. He's a live wire. He was just in everything, everywhere, in everyone's lap. He was doing great. Charles told us of the work that he started in his neighborhood. He started October of 2024, so last year, and there are now 50 members. And those 50 members were able to save. They bought a piece of property and the first 500 bricks for building a building there in Mlamleni. And so that's why I call it the future site. Here's Charles showing us their 500 bricks, and then he actually mapped out the four corners of this area. I just didn't have it took a couple different pictures to get the full site. It's going to, they have a really good plan in place for this building, and it's going to be great. And we asked him, with 50 members, what are you doing right now? And he goes, well, I still preach at Kiswani. So he preaches Sunday morning. He's got a motorcycle and he commutes. He's a real way out of town. It takes him about a good 45 minutes to an hour to get to Kiswani, where he preaches Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, those 50 members meet in a different... They outgrew Charles' home, where we are. They meet in a different member's home, and they meet Sunday evening, where he preaches for them. And we said, well, why are you doing both? And he goes, well, we only have 50 members. We're like, a lot of us were going, we're thinking of quite a few places in our area that would love to have 50 members. And so we said, you have enough members where you could just meet and be the Longlini Church of Christ. And he says, no, the plan is once the building is built, then he will stop commuting and only preach there, and they will be the Longlini Church of Christ. So it's their deal. That's how they plan to do it. So right now he's commuting back and forth from Kiswani and then preaches at Longlini and out of a member's home. Then we spent 3 days with Mbezi. We got to do Friday, Saturday, and then we spoke Sunday morning to them. We were really just invited to come and encourage them. We asked if they had requests, and they said, we just want you to encourage us. So bring whatever lessons you want to bring. And so it was kind of a fun 2 days. It was sprung on me that morning, that Friday morning, that I'm going to be teaching the kids. And so Andrew brought a neat set to help teach the children. A lady at his congregation, her name is Crystal Hunter, she made a bunch of cutouts of figures and objects. She laminated them, she attached them to magnets, and she provided Andrew with 2 sheet pans. And then the idea is you reach in this bag, and there's 2 full sets. They're exactly identical, so he could leave one with one group and one with another. And he was bringing one here for Mbezi. And so Andrew showed me, gave me a crash course on how this is supposed to work, and then I was spending 30 minutes at a time, an hour with the kids, and having to pull these things out of a bag and make a story out of it. And I had a lot of fun doing that. So there's a picture. Andrew got the teens, and I was put with the children. And then the next day on Saturday, Rob's going to be with me. And so what I was encouraged to do by looking at that was, if you have that skill set, you could make more cutouts of more figures, more objects, laminate them, attach them to magnets, and I can bring them with me next time I go, and they can add it to their set. Because Andrew and I said, we need an expansion. We need some expansions to go there. But they just don't have any of those types of teaching tools. And so it went over really well. So then Sunday morning, we were... Well, this is still Saturday. Saturday, we were teaching there that afternoon. We separated into classes. Fari was adults, Andrew the teens, again this time me and Rob were the little children, and there was a couple, we all took turns preaching that afternoon before we went into classes, and Andrew wore this shirt because this was given to him as a gift the last time he was there, and he wanted to wear it to show them that it still fits and he's appreciative of it. And Rob and I, again using that pan, we took turns, and we each had half an hour to teach the children. And this is, by the way, one of my favorite pictures of Andrew teaching, because it looks like he and Charles are doing a duet. I just call that Andrew the crooner. So then on Sunday morning, the Mbezi Church of Christ greets you. There's 132 of them gathered that morning, and we knew we weren't going to have time for the picture, so this picture was actually taken on Saturday. Because we weren't going to have time. In fact, our schedule was so tight that the guy doing the announcements told the brethren not to swarm us, let us go. So what they did was they followed us to the gas station where we were going to pick up our ride. And so there was a little bit of time where Andrew and I got a picture with one of the preachers and his family. And his wife, Philomena, was the lady you saw in the pictures of me teaching the children. She helped me wrangle kids. And so we had a good time there at Mbezi. We've always had a good time spending time with the brethren there. So it was, again, hard to leave, but we had a tight schedule because we were invited to teach at Kiswani that very afternoon, and it is quite a drive. So the Kiswani Church of Christ greets you. We never got a group shot of this congregation. We got the group shot of us with the preachers that were there during the seminar. It's one of my big regrets from this trip was we didn't get a huge group gathering, but they did surprise us. The brethren here at Mbezi, they knew that we had a tight schedule. When we got in the car, we found a surprise waiting for us. They had boxed up lunch and sealed containers for us. And we ate that lunch all the way to Kiswani. But then Kiswani surprised us. They also broke out the feast. I felt like we all said we were hobbits eating second lunch. So Brothers Farre and Andrew taught here that evening. Andrew's congregation used to help support their preacher, Godwin Diego. He also passed away a couple months after Zuberi. He died in the early spring of 2024. And Andrew was able to get a picture with Brother Godwin's family. This is his wife and his son Samuel and his wife and their little boy. So Andrew was quite happy to see Godwin's family still there. We were able to get a picture, one last shot of us with Sister Fina and Zuberi's daughter and Wakyami. And the daughter's name is escaping me at this point. But we were able to get one more group shot with them. And then finally, our last day, Monday night, we were invited to come back to Kiswani and teach about evangelism. I'd asked, Brother Eddie and I were the closers. We were the last, we were the only ones speaking on this afternoon. It was kind of a short engagement. And I'd asked Andrew, as I had done in other times, to take a couple pictures of me. He took lots of pictures of me, and apparently my takeaway was, I talk a lot with my hands. And what a difference. I took this picture of Brother Eddie, look how he's standing, versus how Andrew got me. I was into it. I was animated. So, I want to talk about our highlights, our down day six of our group here at the Indian Ocean at Slipway on September 11th. And it was a fun day when our driver, Stanley, took us to a beach. It was at low tide, and there was a music video being filmed. And so we were trying to stay out of their way, and we ended up deciding there was no way to really get down to that water and really get into it without getting to be a mess. So our driver took us to a place called Slipway, where Rob and Farre were able to actually get into the Indian Ocean without sand. It was just this little cement stairs that went into the water. It was great. And then later that afternoon, we stopped by Brother Innocent Moshe's tailor shop. He's the one who's tailored this Tanzanian suit 3 years ago for me. And three of us, Cashew, Charles, Rob, and Farre, they also wanted a Tanzanian suit. And so we stopped by there Wednesday afternoon. And we put in an order. I put in an order for a shirt. Andrew got pants. We all kind of made an order, but only three of us ordered a full suit. And we said, when can we pick it up? And he goes, oh, come back tomorrow. I will have it done. And we said, tomorrow? And he goes, I am innocent. We're like, okay, tomorrow it is. We came back tomorrow, that Thursday of the 11th, and Brother Innocent Moshe and his tailoring team, I got another picture of us. That's not in the report, but a picture of his new shop with his staff. And they were amazing. They had all our orders custom made right there waiting for us Thursday afternoon when we came. And something that I never, this is definitely a highlight, something I never thought I would ever get to do is eat pork in Tanzania. It's mostly Muslim country. But they have a thing called Kitimoto. And while we didn't eat at this restaurant, Brother Eddie saw this advertisement and took a picture of it. The best Kitimoto. Kitimoto means hot seat in Swahili. And it's a loophole that the Muslims have that as long as they're standing up and not sitting down, they can eat pork. And so restaurants that advertise Kitimoto, they by law can serve pork. Well, one of the days that we went, we were taken to a restaurant that said Kitimoto. And so Charles said, hey, if you guys want pork, now's your time. So we got a huge plate of pork for us to share, and Andrew took a picture of me eating pork on Tanzanian soil. So, but then we went to a restaurant another day, and three of us were not really happy with the menu, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And we looked down, and at the corner was a cheeseburger joint. And I walked over because I didn't believe it. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll give you a cheeseburger and a Coca Zero for 10,000 Tanzanian shillings. That's $4. And I said, done. So three of us had cheeseburgers. I'd never had a cheeseburger in Africa before. This was fantastic. So that was definitely a highlight for me. And Hotel Blue Sapphire, our last night, we ate dinner. And 3 years ago, Zira, and a restaurant staff member, another one, asked for Bibles. You might remember that picture. We have a picture of Andrew and I and the two young ladies. Zira told us that she is Muslim, but she wanted a Bible. So we gave them Bibles. Well, then we only saw her once about 2 years ago. This year, we saw her on our first 2 days there at Hotel Blue Sapphire, and she was wearing the normal staff member blue. A week later, we come back, and she's in this brown suit. So she came to our table, and I asked her, I said, we noticed your new suit. She said, yes, I was promoted to supervisor. So Andrew and I got a picture with her. She said she reads her Bible daily. We exchanged WhatsApp numbers, so we told her if she has any questions, she can ask us. And she's been in brief communication with me here and there since we got home. And then another hotel supervisor wanted a picture with all of us because this was our last night. And so this was the end of our trip. And so one of the things that I'm going to miss is spending 2 weeks with these guys, bring us closer. I'm going to miss our working group and the people. We made a lot of connections. Again, we were invited to some places that we'd never been. We met people that we had never met before. And we hope that we made a difference in the way we taught. There's still work to do. When we go to strengthen them. We go to teach them to do their work. We don't go and tell them, we're going to show you how we do it. We go and give them the tools that they can continue their work. It's their work. It's where they live and teach. And your support meant everything to the people there and to us. I was glad that you were able to send me. They send their greetings and their thanks, and many of them sent their thank yous to the brethren here. But I will tell you, almost everywhere that I went that remembered me from 2 years ago remembered Becky. And they'd be like, oh, Brother Nate, it's so good to see you. As they're moving me out of the way, where's Sister Becky? Where's Mama Mazungu? And so Becky was missed. And the brethren there just were so grateful. And so here's Brother Mombongo's family, Charles, his wife Martha, his daughter Miriam and Anna, and his sons Asa and little Alvin. I was reminded of this passage from Matthew 9. I'm thankful for Jackson for reading it to us. Matthew 9, 37 to 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There is much to still be done, not only abroad, but here at home. The fields are white for harvest, just as Jesus said in another place in John 4 and verse 35 to the people coming out of the Samaritan village. The need is great, both of course overseas, but also right here at home. So my encouragement to you is to look for opportunities to teach, for ways to support the teaching of the gospel to a lost and dying world, and above all, pray. Pray for the brethren there. Pray for that new work in Mlamlani, that they will get that building built and those members will be strengthened. Pray for the congregations that are dealing with spiritual matters of how to break free from the sponsoring church arrangement and do it the way God patterned it, to do it the scriptural way. Pray for those brethren there that they will stay strong, that they will stay faithful. And I'm going to leave you with this image. As we were leaving Charles Mombongo's house that Thursday afternoon, Martha was on the porch holding Alvin, waving as we left. And so that's the picture I had intended. As soon as I took that picture, I was like, that's what I'm going to leave on my report. That's what I want to leave with you, is Sister Martha saying goodbye. And as I wrap up my report, the brethren there were very supportive. They were very encouraged. They were grateful. And they send their greetings back to all of you as well. And so I know this wasn't a normal lesson. This wasn't a lesson that teaches what to do. But if you want to be a Christian, if you haven't become one yet, the opportunity and invitation is always open to hear the gospel, to believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, to be baptized into his name for the forgiveness of your sins, and then live a faithful life. And if you are here this morning as a Christian, not living the way that you should, your prescription is simple as well. Repent, confess, and pray. And we stand ready to assist you in whatever those requests are, the waters of baptism behind me, or the prayers of the congregation, that the prayers of the righteous might affect much, that we might pray with you and for you. Let it be known, all together we stand and sing.